Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here this morning already, hearing the inspiration that God has been speaking to the brothers through. Some of it goes with the message the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. I was just thinking, Brother Simon, what you shared there, you know, we could just interpret that word prophesy to a word that we even better understand, covet earnestly to preach the word of God. And that's a word that we even better understand, you know. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, what makes you come every Sunday to sit under preaching? The preaching of the word, it has a washing effect, but to us that it's saved, it says it's the power of God. And so we come and we sit under the preaching, and it's the power of God that has a cleansing effect on our heart and sanctifies us and draws us closer. But to the world out there that's unsaved, it's a foolish procedure we go through every Sunday after Sunday, or whenever we gather and preach. And then you jump down to verse 21, for after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. You know, we are saved when we get born again, but there's a continual sanctification, and that's God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to do that. So covet earnestly the best gift. Covet that, you know, the gift to open up the word and share it and preach it in a powerful way. So I was blessed with that thought. And as you go through the Old Testament, God chose many foolish things to defeat the enemy. You know, think of a general going to war today with pitchers and trumpets. I mean, it's the most foolish thing you can imagine. Gideon did that. They would think you're foolish, but God chose a foolish things to confound the wise, he says. And so anyway, I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I just wanted to share that. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this morning I bow my heart before you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just help me today to communicate your word clearly, Lord, and that you would be glorified and honored. We thank you again for this morning to be able to gather with the children of God, the saints of God, Lord, and to worship together. And we just pray, Lord, as we go through this next session, Lord, that you would just use it and bless it for your glory and honor. We pray, Lord, that your word, the preaching of your word, would have its effect this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to, you can turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 12, Brother Joe shared this morning how a lot of wrong thinking, a lot of wrong ideas out there, and it's a lot of what I'm going to be sharing on today. I titled my message, Jesus Christ, Our Head. And so I'm going to start reading in verse 12, Colossians chapter 1. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, one verse there. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So Jesus Christ, our head. And so today I want to preach on Jesus Christ as our head. Just think about our human head for a moment. My body gets all of its commands, everything from my head. You know, my body tells me to walk. My body tells me right now to move my hand. My whole body is getting signals continuously. You know, our body can act pretty fast. You know, I can do multiple things. I can speak, I can walk, I can speak and run at the same time. It's getting those signals from the head. And so our head is a command center for our body. You know, have you ever heard this statement, orders from the headquarters, right? And so my head tells me to walk. My head tells my body to run. You know, your head tells your sisters how to sew. Your head, if you're a mechanic, tells you how to fix an engine, and how to garden, how to cook, how to read. Children, your head tells you how to play a game, right? Your head's important. Your head is the very most important part of your body, and it gives you signal. Without the head, the body does not receive its signals. It sends messages throughout your body instantly. Your body responds to your head instantly as you think. And so I just want us to think of Jesus Christ, our head, in that way. And if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. Again, another scripture talks about him being our head. It's verse 21. It says, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want you to notice there, it says that God gave him to be the head. God gave him to be your head. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. But he gave him. He's available to be your head. He's available to be your command center where you can get your orders to how to walk the Christian life. He's not going to force you. And it says, which is his body. When we get born again, we are no longer our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice verse 23. It says, which is his body. We are, when we surrender our life to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're no longer our own. We are his body. We are bought with the price. It says he gave him to be the head over all things, which is his body. And so it's pretty clear here that the Christian's body, you know, it also talks about, I believe it talks about the church being his body, that Christ is our head. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 how the head of Christ is God, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And so Christ is our head. And so do I respond to Christ, my head, in the way my physical body responds to my physical head? Do I respond? Am I in tune to what he's speaking to us, you know, hearing his voice In John chapter 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me." Am I responding to Christ my head in the same way that your physical body responds to your head? You know, you can tell your body to walk. You can tell it to go down steps. You can tell it to jump. And your body responds. But do we respond in that way to Christ our head, the one who we're going to stand before the day of judgment and give an account to? You know, the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. And so, or is there a disconnect? For an example, you take a stroke victim. Sometimes the body isn't able to respond from the messages anymore that come from the head. Sometimes their speech is slurred. Sometimes they're not able to walk. Sometimes they're not able to move their hands because there's a disconnect happened. There's something happened in their head that caused a disconnect to the rest of the body. It's not a very pleasant thing to go through, you know, if you've ever seen someone. Sometimes they can't even walk. Sometimes they can walk, but they're dragging a leg along and an arm's just real limp. It's no longer responding. And sadly to say, many professing Christians are like that stroke victim in relationship to Christ their head. And so I'm going to be looking at more scripture passages now that pertain to Christ as our head. And in these passages, the Apostle Paul is warning about that disconnect that happens from the head, the body not receiving the proper message from the head. There's a disconnect from the head. Brother Joe shared this morning about all these ideas that are floating around out there. He talked about it's because it's like that stroke victim. There's a disconnect that has happened, even though maybe they've experienced been born again, but there's a disconnect has happened because they're no longer rooted and grounded on the Word of God. And the Scripture says, we read the parable, you know, the Scripture says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. If the parable of the sower, you know, the lust of other things and the pleasures of life and things choke out the Word, and that disconnect happens like a stroke victim. So the first Scripture I'm going to look at is in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 18, and you're going to see here what precedes the warning that there's a warning that precedes, and the next verse is going to talk about the head. Verse 18 says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into the things which he hath not seen." Those are those ideas Brother Joe talked about, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now look at the next verse. "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." So here you have wrong thinking. You have wrong doctrine. You have wrong worship here. In verse 18, that's, and all these things are not holding the head in its proper place. It's not receiving the proper connection, the proper commands from the head. He says, in not holding the head, when these things are happening, you're not holding the head in its proper place. So there's a disconnect from the head. You know, it's coming from a fleshly mind. It's not coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Often we think of worship, we think of singing, and it is worship, but so is every decision we make in consciousness of God. That is also worship. Being led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. God is able to lead you, and you're able to follow. And so there's many mixed messages out there. This past Tuesday evening, I was out preaching at a hockey game. Some of you were with me. And I had this couple come up to me, you know, trying to say, well, this is not sin going to this game. We're going to worship God in there by pledging allegiance to God and our nation. We're worshiping God while we're in there, you know, but that's a disconnect. That's not true worship, pledging allegiance to God and our nation at the same time. We cannot serve both, the scripture says. And so it's a disconnect. And this and also says of worshiping of angels. People like to sound spiritual and have some kind of new revelation. We live in a time where people like new revelations. Says worshiping of angels. I just thought I'd mention this. There's a song in this book here that for many years I did not feel good about singing it. There was a disconnect as we sing it with some of the doctrine in it. And so I started researching. It's a song number 221. And it came up on the Midnight Clear. You know, I started to do a little research. So who was Edmund H. Sears? He was a Unitarian, and that's an immediate red flag because they don't believe in the deity of Christ. That eliminates the Holy Spirit, and that eliminates Christ. And so he's worshiping angels here. And if you do your research on him, he lived in a northeastern state, and he would go out on the hillsides there on his farm in New Hampshire, I think it was. And he would go out up on the hills, and he would commune with the angels. And if you know the history of it, you know, the first stanza, you know, sound is true and right because it represents, you know, Christ's birth, the angels coming. But the rest of it, it does not make sense. It's not sound doctrine. Look at verse 2. It says, still. Today, still, through the cloven skies they come. You know, the scripture says Christ is our head. God has spoken unto us in these last days through his Son. God did come to the prophets by the angels, but today he comes to us through his Son. And if we're looking for other things, like Brother Joe mentioned, other ideas, they're going to mislead us. It says, still they through cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled. And still their heavenly music floats over all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing. And ere o'er its babble sounds, the blessed angels sing. And then verse 3, and ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when the ever-circling years comes around the ages of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendor fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. And so, he did not believe in the deity of Christ. He did not, and so the Trinity, that means that that eliminates the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, and therefore he's worshiping angels. And this scripture talks about intruding and worshiping of angels. God does not speak to us today through his angels. He speaks to us through the Word of God, like Brother Joe shared, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I did the research on that song, I'm just using that for an illustration that it can be so subtle. This that man believed that God came to him and communed to him through angels. And as I understand the scriptures, that's not the way God communicates to us today. He speaks to us through his Son. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, who in sundry times spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so, and it goes on to say that he's being made better than the angels. He's better. He has a better message than the angels. So God spoke to the prophets through the angels, but today he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, by being connected to the head. Another passage, Colossians 2, verse 8. Back up a little. There's a couple more verses here that a warning precedes about not holding the head and not being connected to the head. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So Paul's telling us none of these things, philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, rudiments of the world, they come not from the head. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, it says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world heareth them. We are of God, there's a disconnect. Verse 5, they speak of the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so, if we want to stay connected to the head, we need to love truth, and we need to stay to the written word of God, because here we see a people who talk like the world, they like to smell the world and look like the world, and the world hears them, the world understands them. But we who are connected to the head, we understand that it's not of God. God has given us his spirit here. In 1 John chapter 4, there the verse I just read, that God heareth, is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When we stick to the word of God, his spirit bears witness to the truth, and that it is of God. And it says, and ye are complete in him which is ahead of all principality and power. Do you feel complete in Christ, or are these things in verse 8 attractive to you? There's a song that says, Jesus Christ is all I need. He is made unto me wisdom, righteousness, and power. He is all I need. So it says, ye are complete in him. Are you finding your completeness in Jesus Christ and hearing from the head, or is there a disconnect? It says, beware lest any man spoil you. You sisters who can, you know what it's like to go down into your can room and find a can that is spoiled because the seal left go. Many Christians today are getting spoiled by philosophy, vain deceit, the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. They're being disconnected like a stroke victim, The body gets disconnected because something happened. And many people today are being spoiled. They're being disconnected. And they're not receiving the proper commandments from the head. Their life is showing it. It shows in every area of life. And so we need to stay connected to the head. Make sure that our life, that we're walking in holiness. They're no longer complete in Jesus Christ. He no longer satisfies their longings. He He no longer is their completeness. They're no longer content. You know, the life out there looks attractive, looks luring. The rudiments of the world and philosophy and you name it. And so we're going to, let's look at another passage that Paul writes about the head. It's also a warning right before it. This is the third passage. He talks about the head and the verse preceding it. The verse right before it, Paul tells us things that don't come from the head and telling us to be connected to the head. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here we see, he says that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrines. There are many winds blowing today. If you have a fleshly doctrine, you will be able to find a group somewhere in this world we live in that you that will agree with you and you can fellowship with. If you have fleshly doctrines, we all know there's many fleshly doctrines in this world, and people build a denomination around it. People build so-called church groups around them, and they're fleshly. They're about the flesh. You know, the doctrine of Jesus Christ from the head is always about denying self, taking up the cross, and following Jesus Christ and being dead to the old man. The old man is crucified with Christ. That's what the message is going to be coming from the head. Many doctrines have a fleshly concept behind them. You take Mormonism, for example. They're going to become like God. They're going to be gods once they're passed on. You know, that's a fleshly. That's rising up. You take Islam. You know, they're going to have many virgins they get heaven. It's all fleshly. And you name one doctrine right after the other, and everything is fleshly about it. But the message that comes from Jesus Christ the head, it's all about denying the self and bringing death to the flesh, to the flesh. It's no flesh is involved. All flesh has been crucified. There's nothing fleshly about the commandments and the orders that are going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all going to be about holiness. It's all going to be about righteousness. It's all going to be purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So there's many winds blowing and in our day. And the scripture says, beware. And it also says here not to be tossed to and fro with the wind. Especially sometimes if you're out working, especially framers know this, if you're carrying a 4x8 sheet of plywood on a windy day, you're going to go for a ride. And Brother Joe probably knows that. I've experienced that. But if you're going to go after a fleshly doctrine, you're going to go for a ride. And it's not going to end up in a place where you want to on the day of judgment. And so I'm going to now just mention wrong thinking. I'm just going to give some practical things I want to just go through here. So a few practical things that don't come from the head that we as Christians sometimes are faced with. One is doubt. Letting doubt creep in. Luke chapter 12. Here's the message that comes from our head. Luke chapter 12. Verse 28. Sometimes we face trials and we start to doubt. But this is a message that comes from our head. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. He said, this is a message from our head. Don't be of a doubtful mind. Trust. You know, if we're not doubting, we're not trusting. Verse 32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's a message coming from the head. If you're tempted to doubt, trust him, he says. You don't need to doubt. Jesus Christ, our head, gives us faith and confidence. Hebrews says, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Doubt comes from the wrong source. Because our head wants us to have faith. He wants us to have confidence in his word, in trusting in his word, not doubting it. Every time we start to doubt, we start doubting his word. Remember, John the Baptist sent a couple of his disciples to Jesus. He was in prison. He was probably a couple days away from being beheaded. And he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, ask him a question. Are you the one that is to come, or should we seek another? What did Jesus say? Blessed is he who doesn't get offended in me. Starting to doubt his word is getting offended at his word. If Brother Reuben here tells me something and I say, I don't believe you, brother, I doubt you, he'd be pretty offended. I think all of you would. You'd be offended. Jesus says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. So doubt, and when we start to doubt his word, then we are offending the Lord Jesus. So Jesus Christ does not give us doubt. Another thing, some people think they have done too many bad things to even come to the head, Jesus Christ. And it's a lie that doesn't come from our head, Jesus Christ. What does he say? Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So I've heard that said already. I'm too bad. You don't know what I've done. You hear it all the time. People say, you don't know what I've done. It's way too bad. But it's a lie. It's not coming from the head. The head says, come. Come. Discouragement, depression is another one that comes from listening to the wrong voices, letting circumstances get us down instead of looking to our head, Jesus Christ, and trusting him with the circumstance. When we start getting discouraged and getting down, you know, it's not coming from the head. Our head says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He wants us to trust him with his circumstances. Cast everything, casting all your cares. Let's not let discouragement or depression get a hold of us, but let's listen to our head. Let's not let be a disconnect like a stroke victim that are we don't function properly. Also, there's wrong messages that don't come from the head. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Says, now the Spirit, that's the head, speaketh expressly. You know, our head, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that there will seducing spirits, there will voices come that are not from him that will seduce men to depart from the faith. And they bring seducing doctrines. Recently here, a couple months ago, I was talking to a man and trying to reach out to him and talking to him about the permanency of marriage. And they sound very, very convincing that they heard from God. God told him to get remarried. But we know that our head does not say that. Our head clearly says the opposite. But it sounds so, so convincing. They sound, he clearly spoke to me. He said it. And about 9 months ago, I think I was talking to another man, and you know, I'm just bringing out these examples. You know, the scripture says our head, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. He was telling me how his wife one day was seeking God, and she was fasting, and God told her that she should take off the head covering because she's not under his submission, and she should not put it on again until her head tells her to put it on again. And he says, and I don't feel led to tell her to put it back on. And I tried to tell him, you know, this is what the head says. The head says this. The head will never say something that's contradictory to what his word teaches us. That's listening to seducing spirits. It's another spirit that's telling those things, because our head always speaks the same thing. He's never changing. If he would be changing, we couldn't trust him. We couldn't trust his word if his word would be changing. That's why we can have confidence in our head, because his word is never changing. Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, the scripture says, Jesus says, he judges no man. The words I have spoken, they will judge you on the last day. So we can know right now how we are going to be judged on the last day. We don't have to wonder. We know. God has already has told us, because his word is forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. No new revelation. I have an example in the Old Testament of God's word being settled in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. This is a prophet of God. It does not give his name, but it's always an intriguing account to me. I'm just going to read verse 1 down through 24 so that you can get the whole account here. God sent him to King Jeroboam. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he," the man of God, "cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by his name. Upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. So Jeroboam said, he put out his hand, said, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it in again. So Jeroboam's hand's out like this, and his arm dried up. It was moved. There's a disconnect happened from his head at that moment, and his arm was stuck in a position that went out. And the altar also was rent, the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored. So he's standing there with his arm in a stretched out position, and he's asking the man of God that he would pray for him, that his arm would be restored and become as it was before. It says, And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said, now I want you to notice here what God gave him, specific instruction. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went away. So he was told, go prophesy to Jeroboam. Go home another way. Don't eat anything or drink anything until you get back home. He had specific instruction, a word from the Lord. He says it was a word of the Lord. Remember, thy word is settled in heaven forever, O Lord. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. I find it also interesting, he found him sitting. The Bible says that we should flee temptation. We should, he was giving specific instructions, but he was idling. He was idling around, which he probably shouldn't have. If he'd have kept on, he'd have probably never met up with his fate. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. The old prophet said, come home, eat bread with me. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me, again, he's quoting what the Lord, the word of the Lord. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread, drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee. See, he heard from the head originally, but a seducing spirit came and caused him to stumble. But came back and has eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. So I'm just going to stop there, but I wanted to share that account of God's word being settled. This man heard from the word from the Lord, and he listened to a wrong message. He got disconnected from the head, and it cost him his life. I've also talked to people who were walking, have been born again, have experienced the grace of God, and in 5-10 years down the road, they say, well, God showed me I was wrong. I'm walking in a different way. God showed me I was wrong back then. Walking in the ways of the Lord. You know, the scripture, our head says in Colossians, as ye has therefore received Christ, so walk ye in him. As you have therefore received him, so walk you in him, rooted and built up and grounded and settled. So, this man of God, you know, the old man of the old prophet came with a, supposedly a new revelation, which wasn't no new revelation. And people today are wanting new revelations from the Lord instead of just simply trusting His word and obeying. They're wanting new revelations. It makes them sound more spiritual. It makes them sound more holy, because it makes them sound like they have access to God that you and I don't have. Have you ever talked to people? It sounds like they have an access that you don't have. We all have an open door to the same God. They don't have a special access that you and I don't have. We all have the same opportunity to hear from our head, the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10. Very familiar verses. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and his sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. But sadly, with all the winds of doctrine, many people are going, following the voice of strangers. But the true sheep, the ones who are connected, they won't follow the stranger. They'll follow the shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Another verse, John 18, verse 37, says this. Pilate therefore saith unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. So I think there's a key, loving truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, because they love not the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Loving the truth, simply sticking to God's word, by loving the truth, we will continually hear His voice. So God always says the same things. He's unchanging. That's why we can be settled and grounded and be not moved away. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. You know, we as Christians, we do have days we are tempted, right? Or at least I do. I get tempted. But our head, Jesus Christ, encourages us in a time of temptation, listen for His voice. Don't be given in to the temptation. Just wait and listen on His voice. Don't harden your heart by giving in, but just listen to His voice. His voice says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I've experienced that many times. In time of temptation, resist him and he will flee from you. Remember Jesus Christ being led by the Spirit into the wilderness after his baptism? What he followed our example. Our head showed us. He resisted the devil and he fled from him. And so Jesus is our example. And he said this, I always do the will of my Father. He was in connection with his head. He always did his will. And sometimes we as Christians, we do find ourselves in a wilderness, like dry sometimes. But our head, Jesus Christ, is saying to listen to my voice. You know, I read that verse, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. There are days we find ourselves in the wilderness. But he's encouraging us that we're tempted, we find ourselves in the wilderness. We should listen for his voice. Don't harden your heart through it, but just wait on the Lord, and he will come near. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him, into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. So if we find ourselves in a wilderness and temptation, let's start knocking at the door and crying out to God and to hear his voice and to open the door. He promises, our head promises, he will come in. He will sustain us. He will help us through our time of wilderness, our time of temptation. We don't need to harden our hearts and go against what our head says. Sometimes he might lead us through those times to test us, to try us. That's what he led the children of Israel through the wilderness, to test them, to try them, to prove them. We are, the Christian life is full of tryings and testings from the Lord to see if we're true. But many people fail the test. My wife and I, we've talked already. Sometimes it felt like life was easier before we were Christians. We didn't have all the trials. Life was more happy-go-lucky type. But the Christian life is a fight to, it's a joyful life. It's a life of peace because we're connected. Even though we were more had less trials, I didn't have peace inside. And I've heard this saying that the Christian is being tested and tried in this life, but is facing the judgment of God. But those who never repent, they're going to face the judgment of God throughout eternity. We're facing the judgment of God now to refine us, to get us prepared for heaven. So let's keep through those trials and through those things. Let's keep hearing the head being connected and not letting a disconnect happen. Hebrews chapter 2, a couple more verses here and I'll close. Hebrews chapter 2, it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, to our head. And then it says, for if the words spoken by angels, God did speak to the prophets in the old time by angels. And it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, the 12 apostles, the 120 in the upper room. And we go on another place. It says there were 500 witnesses of his resurrection. And so how shall we escape if we let these things slip? The word of God, when we start letting things slip, we're getting disconnected from our head. And Hebrews, one more verse, Hebrews, a couple more verses, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, see what it says. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. This is referring to Mount Sinai there. God came down on the mountain and spoke, and they refused to hear God there. That God said, they said, Moses, this is too terrible. We can't stand it. You go speak to God, and we will believe you, what you said. There was smoke coming out of the mountain, thunderings, lightning. If any animal or anything touched that mountain, they fell over dead. It was quite a sight. But here, he's using that as an example. They refused to hear God. God was going to come down so that God would speak to each one individually. They could personally hear the voice of God. And today, you and I, we have the opportunity to be connected to the head. And it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. See that you don't refuse him. Stay connected to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my encouragement today to each one of you, that just an exhortation to be connected to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our head. Let's not be like a stroke victim, showing disconnect in our lives. So thank you for listening. God bless you.